Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hello, friend. If you're joining me today for the first time, I want you to know that what you hear will be the second part of a two-part message entitled Believing the Inescapable. Last week, we heard the first pronouncement in Dr. Yoder's message. It was, Christ has incontestable authority. We'll begin today where we left off last week by picking up the message as Dr. Yoder introduces the second point of his outline, Christ has indisputable priority. Now, if you were not able to hear the program last week, keep listening, because I'll tell you at the end of today's program how you can get a copy of the complete message. Now, here's Dr. Yoder.
The second pronouncement is, Christ has indisputable priority. Christ, the first fruits. No one else arose like Jesus did. John 11:43 tells how Lazarus was raised. There, Jesus by the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says, he cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. But you know what? Lazarus died again. He did not have a resurrected body. He had a resuscitated body. The same thing is true of the widow's son, the widow of Nain. This is recorded in Luke 7:11-15, where they were actually on the way to the cemetery to bury this lad. Jesus met them on the way, and the Bible explains it for us in Luke 7:11-15. Listen. Here it is. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Now listen, Lazarus and this widow's son both died again. They were raised from the dead, but not like Jesus was raised from the dead. As he was speaking to John on the island of Patmos, the Lord Jesus made a comment to him like this. John said, I quote Revelation 1:17-18, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now that's different. Jesus had a resurrected body, and so he could say to John, I will never die. I am alive forevermore. These other people that I was referring to, Lazarus and the widow's son, did not have resurrected bodies. They had resuscitated bodies, and so they died again. Do you see what I mean? Then we notice further, he's not only the first fruits. I must make some comment about that. In the Old Testament times, during their agricultural economy, at the time of harvest, they were to bring a sheaf of grain and dedicate it to God with the high priest service. One time when we were in Israel, we were there, the time of the harvest of first fruits. We were to be in a kibbutz on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. As we came, they gave each one of us a barley head, to help us to understand that this was the offering of the first fruits. Well, that's what they did in those days in the Old Testament time, and still do. And here Jesus is called the first fruits. That means that he has the guarantee of the resurrection of all the dead. That is what it speaks of. And I will be mentioning that in a moment. Our text says, he is the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. The Greek word epita is a temporal adverb. The length is not specified, just afterward. After the resurrection of Jesus, then they that are his at his coming. Paul did not know when. He did not know how long. He did know that. We can calculate it now. It is nearly 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus. And so far, they that are his have not been resurrected. But they will be. Of that we can be confident. The apostle goes on then in the next verse to say, then cometh the end. Here the Greek word echa is also a temporal adverb. It does not mean immediately. The word can very well convey a length of time from they that are Christ's to the end. The book of Revelation tells us how long that time is. It is 1,000 years from the time of the first resurrection until the time of the second resurrection. In other words, the resurrection of them that are his and the resurrection of them that are not his is separated by 1,000 years. And the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 15, he must reign till all enemies are put under his feet. He must reign. Again, the Bible informs us how long that reign will be. In Revelation 20, we learn that it will be 1,000 years, and he shall reign on the earth for 1,000 years. He must reign. It is necessary for him to reign. You know, now he is king by the decree of God. The Latin term is de jure. But then he will be king in his own right, functioning as king. He will be king de facto. He will be there in power and great glory. Praise God. When he comes in power and great glory, he will be identified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn in your Bible at your leisure to Revelation 19 and read what it says about him. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will have indisputable priority. He will be first, the first fruits, and then they that are Christ's at his coming. And then comes the end. The third pronouncement is, Christ has invincible victory. Amen. All enemies will be subdued to him. All enemies will come under his rule. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Just look at that 26th verse again, and let that truth bear upon your heart. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. Death has been the master since Eden. It will be dethroned by Christ. In fact, it has been dethroned by Christ because he arose from the dead. He arose from the dead with an immortal body. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has invincible victory. The battle is won. Yes, he came, he saw, he conquered. Look at verse 28 now. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, when is a particle of time, a time known only to God. God does not plan anything loose-endedly. He knows when it will be. He knows how things will come out. He knows who will be there. And he has given Jesus Christ invincible victory. The final victory will be when all things are under him, when all things have been subdued, when death has been destroyed. That will be the final victory. What God planned from eternity past will be carried out. Thus, Christ will have invincible victory. Amen. Therefore, the resurrection of Christ is an inescapable fact. I'm asking you to believe it because Christ has incontestable authority to reverse death, which Adam brought upon us all. Christ has indisputable priority, since he is first to rise from the dead to live forever. Christ has invincible victory to put all things under his feet. And God will be all in all. Now let us pray. O sovereign Lord, I come to thee again like that, because thou art the one who knows the end from the beginning, and everything has been ordered together according to thy marvelous plan. And so I come to confess that I believe this inescapable fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It puts great hope in my spirit, and my heart, and my mind, and I pray God that thou wilt bless my friend who has listened to this program. May it also stir up that one to believe the inescapable fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.
My friend, Dr. Yoder addressed a very important subject today. What a comforting thought to know that death will one day be conquered. Hallelujah. We can be assured that will happen because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has already conquered death. He did that when he rose from the grave. Death could not keep him there. Now, I'd like to help you better understand just how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is. And I can do that by offering to you a printed copy of the message you heard today. In fact, all the messages in our series of study from 1 Corinthians are printed in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. And I urge you to get a copy of this book. That way you'll have this message to read and study on your own. And you'll have all the other messages in the series too. I believe it will help your understanding if you can have these messages available for your further study. And there's something else I want to make available to you. If you're listening to me today and you do not have a Bible, please write and ask for a copy. For the past 28 years, we have been giving a free English language Bible to those who write and request one. Now remember, this offer only applies to you if you do not already have a copy of the Bible. You see, our goal is to get God's Word into the hands of as many as possible. So that's why we only give Bibles to those persons who do not have a Bible of their own. So, if you do not have a Bible, then write and request one today. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send an email with your request for the Bible or for Dr. Yoder's book. To receive your copy of Dr. Yoder's book, just write and ask for it by its title, Glory in the Lord. My friend, this will be a valuable resource in helping you understand the entire New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. Again, the title is Glory in the Lord, and we'll send a copy to you when you write and ask for it. The mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Again, that's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3. Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you have internet access, our web address is www.heraldsofhope.org, where you can send an email with your request for either the book or for a free English language Bible. Now, when Dr. Yoder returns next week, we'll continue our study in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I hope you'll join us as we learn about correcting improper lifestyles. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.